Today is Mother's Day. Scott Dawson put something up that I thought summed up my thoughts. He said, Mother's Day should honor those who sacrifice comfort to develop character. Moms who discipline their children to be lifelong learners, disciplined learners, and respectful adults. And that's an adequate description of what Mother's Day is about. I think it's appropriate that today we'll be talking about Jesus saying, I am the bread of life, not because that solely focuses on women, but I believe women embrace that aspect of Jesus about being sustenance for people, and that's what mothers do, and that's what my mother did for me. So out there, mothers out there, happy Mother's Day to y'all. And I want to selfishly say, Mom, if you're watching, happy Mother's Day to you. Sorry I didn't call. Mom ain't up at 7:30 when I come to church anyway. But I figured out the perfect gift for Heather for Mother's Day. A round of golf for myself. But for the men in here that have married a little bit or haven't got married yet, you got to understand, before you give your wife that Mother's Day gift, it took me 18 years of slowly, methodically disappointing her and aggravating her to the point that a round of golf, or in her eyes, an afternoon by herself, sounds great. So, men, there you go. Mother's Day, one of the most popular celebrated holidays in the world. I heard a comedian say once that, and I don't think the statistics are right, but he said Mother's Day is the second most celebrated holiday in the world. He said, you got Jesus, and then you got mothers. And I find that to be an adequate statement. Then he went on to say, but Father's Day is like 18th on the list. He said Arbor's Day comes in front of Father's Day. Which is a problem within itself, but that's just where we are. And on this day that we're celebrate mothers, on this day that we've dedicated these families and these children to the Lord, you know, we stand here today asking ourselves, God, what is the message that you have for us? And we started last week the I Am series, in which we're looking at all the I Am statements of Jesus. Last week we talked about Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life, and that we you know, we're going to preface every sermon the same way, that Jesus doesn't have the resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection, okay? And so we're going to look at John chapter 6, starting in verse 26, and we're going to see what he says here when he says, I am the bread of life. Verse 26 says this, Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal. Therefore they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. So they said to him, what then do you do for a sign, so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? 31 says, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me, will come to me, and the one who comes to me will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who has sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but I raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. In these verses, you see here Jesus saying, I am, verse 35, I am the bread of life. We jumped into last week what I am means, and we looked at Sunday night even in more depth of what I am means. It is the given name to God himself. When Moses was headed back to Egypt to deliver the people from the bondage of the Egyptians, and he said, what should I call you? And God said, I am who I am. And that's what Yahweh means. It's the personal name of God. And so when Jesus made that statement, he says, I am, that speaks volumes to them, and that opens their eyes and angers them and it frustrates them, because at that point, Jesus is claiming to be, that's the bread. We think that he is feeding us this bread. And we lose sight that Jesus does not have the bread. Jesus is the bread. He is the substance in which we need to survive. Can I be honest with you? This week was the worst week I've had since being the pastor of this church. All right, not worse and bad. Nothing bad happened. It was just a crazy week. All right, field days, visitation. I had a big meeting I had to go to. Of course, I had to play a round of golf with some guys. Visiting on the golf course is what I call it. And then preparing Bible studies, preparing sermon, and then I'm trying to prepare in the future. So I'm not trying, I don't want to prepare week to week. So I'm trying to prepare some this week, some for next week. And then Addison decides to make it to the regional tournament. We go one day and get to watch her play. The next day, we sit there and we watch it rain all day. And I keep telling Heather, let's leave. They're not playing softball. Come on. Let's leave. No, they might play. And I'm like, in what world are we going to play with 7 inches of rain coming down? And so we stay there all day and wait for the tournament that never happens. Then they go to a tournament, and I tell people I don't have the heart space to go to a tournament the day before I preach. And so I just had to chill out at home and watch it on Game Changer, because I know I'm not going to yell if I watch it on Game Changer. But it's just a rough week. And I think it's an appropriate week that Jesus reminds me that of all the things that I had going on and all the things that are in my life and all the responsibilities that I have and all the stuff that we should be doing, Jesus is the substance that gets me from day to day. Parenting is not. My job is not. My ministry is not. Jesus is the only substance that we should have. What it's saying here is that Jesus is the gift. Don't we often look at Jesus like he has a gift to give us when we misrepresent that Jesus is the gift? Did it not say that the bread was like bread from heaven, like manna? Jesus said, I am like manna. Come down from heaven. I am the gift that God sent. I am him who was sent here for you. Ultimately, he is the person that God called to die on a cross for our sins. And to raise again. He is the gift. If you need Jesus and anything else, you misunderstand who Jesus is. If you need Jesus and good health, then you've misunderstood who Jesus is. If you need Jesus and your family, you misunderstand who Jesus is. If you need Jesus plus anything, we're not seeing Jesus as the gift. My goal in life is to be okay with Jesus and Jesus alone. Nothing else in this world should have any hold on me except for Jesus. God brought something to my mind that I thought that it was very appropriate, especially for a big boy. It says this, you know what? Jesus is not dessert. He's the bread. How often do we look at Jesus as something extra that we add to our life? How often do we see our life as we do what we want to do, and then we add Jesus in there as a dessert to make it just a little bit sweeter, just a little bit better? God convicted me this week that Jesus is not what I add to my life. Jesus is the bread. Jesus is the substance. Jesus is the gift. Second thing I want us to look at, if Jesus is manna that was sent from heaven, what ways is Jesus like manna that we see in Exodus? Number one, it's a supernatural gift. It's not of this earth. When they found themselves in the desert and they were hungry and they asked God what they were going to do and how they could do this, God sent down this stuff. And manna, if y'all don't know this, literally means, what is it? They didn't know what it was. I always pictured it like them rice cakes. You know what I'm talking about? Does anybody here like rice cakes? Like, is that really? That's a thing? All right. I always just imagined manna like rice cakes. The problem is the Bible goes on to tell us it was as sweet as honey. It was very tasteful. Okay, but it was just this chalky white substance that had no harsh ends, almost like a snowflake, that fell down from heaven, and they would gather that up every night. And that literally meant, what is it? It's supernatural. It's not of this earth. Second thing that you see here is it came to where the people were. When they were in the wilderness and they were needing to collect food, they didn't have to go very far. God didn't send it far away from them and make them travel to it. Where did he send it? Into the camp. The same sense. What did God do with Jesus? Did he send it far from us in which we had to find? Or did he send Jesus right here in the midst of us? Right here where we are. Right here where he needs him. It's not this pursuit that we have to go search him down. Number one, it's God calling us to himself and him sending Jesus to be a part of us to be able to find him. Number three is to be eaten by each. This is the problem that we have in the church today. We think we can live off the faith of our parents. We think if our parents are faithful to God, our parents faithfully read their Bible, then by, I don't know, some psychic connection, that stuff's going to work over to me. But manna was the same way. Manna had to be eaten by every person. And guess what? Jesus, as the bread of life, has to be eaten by every person. It's not good enough for your parents to be close followers of Jesus Christ. It's not good enough for your parents being the one. You have to find your way. You have to find your way. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm going to call y'all out on this, and you're not reading the Bible, you're not experiencing the bread of life. It's a calling that we all have to be a part of who God is inside of us. Number three is gathered daily. Manna, when it was gathered, it said, gather only what you need. And it said every time somebody tried to store it, they would wake up and there would be worms and bugs inside of it. Because God told them in faith, don't gather more than what you need. I will provide this every day. There's no sense in you storing this up until the day before the Sabbath, and I'll let you get 2 days' worth. But in faith, you have to believe that every day I'm going to provide for you. And so don't take any more than you need. You can take as much as you need, but don't take any more than you need. That's what God said about manna. And here we find ourselves as guys, God's word, Jesus as the bread of life, is to be gathered daily. It can't be a weekly, can't be a bi-weekly, can't be a monthly event in your life. If you're not looking for opportunities to gather the bread that comes from heaven, then you're missing out on the blessings that God has for us. And lastly, it says it's, which I alluded to, it's not designed to store. In Isaiah, I wish I would have wrote the verse down. In Isaiah, there's a verse that's always spoke high to me. It's about, it talks about trying to store up the blessings of God in cisterns that are broken. We try to store up our spiritual encounters. Let's go to church so Austin can lead us in worship. But I'm never going to lead worship. Or I'm never going to come into a worship experience by myself. Let's go to church so Adam can preach a message to me, but I myself am never going to open God's word and find the things myself. That's not the way that we're called to live up. It's not about storing up what you get here at church. It's about enjoying it every day. Jesus is the bread of life. It says in there that, let me see if I can find it. I forgot to write it down on my outline. I can't find it. But anyway, it says in there, it's hard for me to read right now, but it says in there, don't seek after bread that can pass away. Now, I want you to think about this. Now, bread to us is one thing, okay? Bread, we go to the store, we buy a loaf, unless you're super crafty and you make your own bread. I don't know. Anybody make their own bread out there? Okay, no hands. All right, so we all go to the store, we walk around, we do the pat test, right? Which one's the softest? All right, that's the softest. I'm going to take this home. We're going to eat it. How many people here run into the same problem that the Michael household does? Before we get halfway through a loaf, it starts turning different colors. It starts looking a little gross, and we end up having to throw half a loaf of bread away. Were the only family that has to deal with it? All right. So here you have these people. Now, they didn't just go to the store and buy bread. They went and they had to get flour, water. They mixed it up. There was a process that they made this bread. And then when they got to the point that that bread was old, then they had to cast it out. That's a little different than going to the store and grab another piece of bread. Let's be honest. It's an inconvenience at best for us to have to go to the store to grab some bread. But for them, it was an all-day endeavor for them to make more bread for their family. And all of a sudden, they come across this man that took bread and just multiplied it. That took bread and just gave it to us freely. And so they're in this mindset, hey, let's make this dude in charge. Then we don't have to make bread anymore. He can just provide it for us. And Jesus warns them in there. He says, don't seek out bread that perishes. He said, seek out the things that are non-perishable. And what he's saying is here, guys, in our lives, we can't seek out the things of this world. If we spend the majority of our life doing things that this world has to offer, when this world ends, our life is going to end too. But if we spend the majority of our time doing the things that matter for eternity, when this life ends, we still have an eternity to experience the life that God's given us. So don't seek after the things of the world. Seek after the things of God. And he asks in there, what are we seeking after today? Verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Verse 41 says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Verse 48 says, I am the bread of life. Verse 51 says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Verse 55 says, my flesh is true food. You see, what Jesus is trying to get us to understand here is that the bread that he offers is eternal life. He's flipped the script here. They're talking about physical bread. Jesus is trying to talk about something completely different. And I stand here today and proclaim to you the same thing that Jesus proclaimed. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're missing out on the true bread that is salvation. The true bread that is in eternity in the presence of God. If you don't understand what that means, you don't get the point that Jesus is the true bread, I pray today that you have the courage to come and talk to me before you leave or even during the invitation of this message. But let's read verses John chapter 6, verses 60 through 66. Says this, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, talking about Jesus saying, you must eat my flesh. Said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then, if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, for this reason, I must say to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. Listen, verse 66. I find this appropriate, and I've said this on many occasions. There's a reason why this is John chapter 6, verse 66. And it says, as a result of this, of those words, many of his disciples withdrew, were not walking with him anymore. See, the culmination of things happened. Jesus was walking around doing a lot of miracles and gaining a lot of followers. If you add the 5,000 people, or most people believe it was 5,000 men, not including their wives and their children, that were fed, you could imagine after they saw the miracle that Jesus performed and was given food that should not have been there. And then these people follow Jesus around the sea, find him at Capernaum, And there they are. They're ready to follow him wherever he goes. They're ready to live in his shadow and be under his ministry. And then Jesus starts saying things that are uncomfortable. He starts calling himself, I am Yahweh. He starts saying, I am the bread of life. I am this, I am that. And then he doubles down on it. He says, when they start questioning him being the bread of life, he goes, in all sincerity, he says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood if you want to follow me. And a lot of them said, whoa, that's too much. I was here for the bread. I was here to follow you because I was getting something from this situation. But if you're going to start talking like this, I'm out. And it said many of his disciples, not the 12, the disciples, but many of the disciples that had been around him for a long time, walked away, and it said never to follow him again. I see nothing from the ministry of Jesus Christ that says he was seeking after a large crowd. I see everything from the life of Jesus telling us that he seeks out true followers who are willing to believe even if they don't understand, who are willing to follow even if they don't know where they're going, willing to grasp hold of something even though they don't understand. And these people walked away from it. I stand here today to tell you this. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the substance in which we're supposed to live by. He is supposed to be the only thing that matters in our life. He gives us this world. He gives us the joys of this world. And he wants us to have a good time. He wants us to enjoy the life that he's given us. But he wants everything in priority. And he wants to be at the top. And he wants everything else to fall in place where it's supposed to be. I stand here today to tell you, if you've dethroned Jesus from your life, today is the day to stop. Today is the day to say, you know what, God? I've placed this in front of you. It's time for me to back away and put you back up there. You are the bread of life. You're the substance in which I'm supposed to live by. You're the gift in which God sent me. You are everything and everything, I mean everything, that I need. That's the statement that God wants to hear from us today. Not that Jesus, you have the bread that I want, but Jesus, you are the bread. And then my life cannot exist, cannot move forward, cannot go anywhere without you in the proper place in which you should be in my life. And that's number one. Now, I told y'all about my week. I told you about how before I preached this message, Satan wanted to throw anything and everything in front of me that I could betray him or I could place in front of him or I could say is more important than him. And I wish I could say that I made it through this week scot-free, but I didn't. There are things that I rose up there, and there are things I had to pull down, and there are other things that rose up there that I had to pull down, and I had to constantly battle this spiritual warfare in my life this week to make sure that I understood that Jesus is the bread of my life. And when I didn't take time with him this week, it was my fault. And God did not miss out on his time with me. But I can tell you this right now, I sure missed out on my time with him. And my hope and my prayers, y'all, to understand the importance that it takes for every day we be in the bread of life. Y'all stand with me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.